This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room here, and thank you, Dave, for the introduction. And today we've got an interesting subject. It's a little bit of what I've been working with for a long time. And I can sort of feed a little bit in, and I think what we need to do as Christians and what we need to look into. Okay, one thing which seems to be certain, and that is that things are heating up. Things are heating up for us as Christians. And stuff which we've never heard before, never ever heard before, now is sort of coming out all over the place. And people are getting dragged into court because they don't agree with certain aspects of the zeitgeist, and we find that there are laws about hate speech which almost look like they have been made for Christians. I find this here in Britain as well, and some of the stuff I find it quite hard to see that that Christians who stand up and who make statements are very often construed as being hate crime. And yet, if they're genuine Christians, we have got an opinion about lifestyles which are good and which are wrong, but we don't hate people. We love people, and that's pretty much what our scriptures tell us, to love our enemies, to love my neighbor as oneself, to love God and to forgive. I mean, this is really the context of what we are supposed to be doing and what we are aiming and striving for, and yet very often we are considered as haters or bigots and as people who reject the truth which of course is tolerance and acceptance of everything, whether it is the truth or a lie. Okay, what is happening? I was talking earlier about data protection laws which come into it, and some of them are very punitive. And one thing we can see probably in the future is that things are going to change. Let me do a prediction of the future. I made some notes here. And let's go through. My future prognosis is that in Europe, YouTube, Facebook, Google, a lot of social media will be very much restructured, will be very restrained, will be very restrictive as well in what you can say. And anything which is deemed to be hate speech by some, probably defined by some left-wing person who hates anything to do with Christianity, anything to do with the Bible, anything to do which smells of conservatism. So anything like that is considered to be hate speech, racist. The Christianity is probably thrown into the same barrel as things like the Ku Klux Klan and other things. And that's happened. We've seen, attempts of this under the Obama administration, that there were some people within this administration who were making statements which were very disconcerting in a way. And we need to bear this in mind, what is happening in this world. And things seem to be heating up. Anything which has got potentially controversial content will disappear from those social media sites, and we cannot rely on it. I think this is very, very important. We cannot rely on it to use this as our permanent platform. I think it's going to go sooner or later for us, and it's happening already. We've had this stretch of stuff being demonetized because advertisers weren't very happy to be pulled in with so-called religious messages. And so demonetization has taken place a lot, and it's kind of killed a lot of activity on YouTube. And my prediction is, my future prognosis is, from what I'm seeing today, that things are gonna become more and more restrictive, to the point that that we cannot use those platforms anymore to preach the gospel or to encourage our brothers and sisters to preach the truth or to talk about the truth, to have any form of controversy, to have any debate. It's not possible. It won't be possible anymore. I'm going to talk about this later on. There are ways around it, and there are ways where we can still reach out. It'll be harder, though, and it'll be less likely to reach the unreached, but there's still ways and means, and we're gonna look at this. So what I'm seeing in the West, what is happening at the moment, is some sort of persecution through the back door. It's not openly blatant Christian persecution, but it is, you know, like little laws here, little laws there, which are very much opposed to a Christian agenda. And if you dare to go and to say anything against the public line, you know, the official line that's been pushed out, then you will end up. Right. So we've got new laws. And then let me just, I mean, you all know about these laws. We've got the LGBT agenda, and it's pushed mightily. We've got Satanists who are pushing their agenda as well of, you know, what they are, Luciferianism and stuff like that, what they are trying to push out. We've got hate laws, hate speech laws. So interesting as well, I was looking at some of the German law, and it's very woolly. It's really, really woolly. You don't really know when you are committing a hate speech crime or not, because it doesn't depend on the stuff you say. I mean, for example, if you do an incitement for violence, it's wrong, and we shouldn't be doing this. If you do, if you say something which, you know, is insulting to a person, to you know, scratching at the dignity of somebody, that's maybe wrong as well. But if you say that certain behavior, in your opinion, is wrong, that should not be construed as hate speech, but it can be, because it no longer depends on the contents you say, but it depends on the person and how deeply the person is offended by what you say. Now, many people took offense in what Jesus did, and Jesus makes an exclusive claim on his life. He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. So, no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's no Oprah Winfrey or anything like that, you know, but whatever she's saying. There's no, you know, many ways lead to Rome kind of thing. It's not. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God. And many people will take offense at that. Many people will take offense at that. Yeah. Especially when I carry on and I say, you know, Jesus is number one, the Son of God. He is God. Yeah. And he died on the cross and he shed his blood for my sins. And because of that, because of what Jesus did, I've got access to God. Because I trust in the power of his blood and what he has done on the cross for me. To a Muslim, this is highly annoying. This is blasphemy, you know, to what they, you know, what's written in their Quran. When I say this, and I've said it, I'm committing a sin which is called shirk. Now, one guy told me and he said, look, you're not a Muslim, so you're forgiven. So once you become a Muslim and you do this, then it's the unforgivable sin and it's only the hottest part of hell that's reserved for you, because you made somebody else equal to God. It's pretty much the same offense a Jew said, because Jesus made himself God, and they understood what Jesus was saying. They understood very well what he was saying, and they knew that he was making the claim to Godhood. And that's why they crucified him. So, whatever Jesus did is very, very offensive, and we need to... We need to be aware of this. You know, we preach Jesus Christ, and it'll be an offense to some people. And according to German law, if you offend somebody, then you can be sued. Then obviously it's down to the discretion of the judge to see how ridiculous the whole case is, whether he throws it out or not. But we never know, because society has changed dramatically over the last 10 years. And give it another, you know, 5 years, and because whatever changes have been happening over the last 10, 20 years, they seem to be... exponential. They seem to be exponential. So that means they're speeding up more and more and more. And so, you know, in 5 years' time, the world could be a very, very different place. It could be a place where our freedom is gone. You know, we can wave bye-bye to our freedom to openly preach the gospel, and we have to do it through the back door. Okay, we've got the data protection laws kicking in the EU, which are highly restrictive. You know, if you mention anybody, you criticize anybody, that's data about their person. And you can only do this if you've got the express permission. That's what the law looks like. The formulation is very woolly. Nobody really knows what it means, but they can, you know, they can drag you into court if you do this within the EU. I'm glad Britain goes out of it. And there's a strong case. If you want to preach the gospel on the internet, you have to go into a country where you're safe. Yeah, you have to go into a country like the Ukraine or Moldova. I'm not sure where they stand on whether the laws are tightened up, or Transnistria, which is next door to Moldova. I don't know, but it's very, very difficult. Yeah, in Canada, there was a suggestion to outlaw Islamophobia. Yeah, and that is similar to blasphemy laws in Pakistan. It's there right now. Blasphemy laws in Pakistan, you know, if you say anything against Muhammad, against the Quran, you can be put to death. And very often it's just the accusation that's enough to give somebody huge problems. Canada was doing something similar. They wanted to, and I'm not sure how far this is. There was some talk about it in Canada. It might have been pushed through. It's a bit like homophobia, Islamophobia, all the phobias. They want to outlaw it. Yeah. Now, I've got a phobia against spiders, a spider phobia, and haven't I got the right to not like a certain thing? I mean, the other Greek term for phobia, which is the opposite, is phil. You know, if you are Islamophil, you love Islam, or if you are homophil, yeah, you love homosexuality, for example. Yeah, phobia is the opposite, you don't like it. Yeah, and then my thing is, you know, why does the law force me to like something? Haven't I got the right to choose? Can I not dislike something? You know, why can this ever be discussed, you know, about a philosophy? Can I not dislike, for example, communism? You know, can I not have a communist phobia? Or maybe capitalism in the same breath. You know, can I not dislike capitalism and have like a phobia against capitalism or other philosophies which are in life? For example, fascism or anti-fascism or things like that. Can I not have a phobia? And basically what people are saying here, what the law says is you can't do this. You know, we need to protect these guys and we need to be nice to them. And we're going to outlaw, you know, if you say anything against them because you don't like them, we're going to outlaw it and you'll be in trouble. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous what is happening in this world. But what are we going to say? We are going to say we are forced by the Bible to say one thing. Number one is that Islam doesn't work. Islam is a different gospel. It is not the gospel according to the Bible, and all it's going to get you is into hell. You follow Islam, you go to hell. That is this clear cut. And let me put it this way. You follow Islam and you reject the word of Christ, there's nothing left for you. You're going to die in your sins and you're going to pay for it in hell. And if you follow the Quran, the gospel is completely bypassed. Yeah, you learn about Jesus and you're supposed to revere Jesus. The Quran even tells you to read the Bible and the Injil and consider them to be the word of God and to follow them. That's what the Quran says. But then in another instance, the Quran abrogates, makes big mistakes, a lot of statements which are made in the Bible, which are very relevant to the gospel, like the death on the cross, which the Quran denies. Jesus didn't die on the cross according to the Quran. If he didn't die on the cross, there's no salvation. Jesus is not God. Yeah, very, very clear. If Jesus is not God, we've got a big problem because the Bible clearly says and states that he is God. Gospel according to John, you know, the first couple of verses, read them, and you will see this. What else? Jesus is not the Son of God. Yeah, God didn't have anything with Mary, which I kind of agree. You know, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I don't think that that there was an act of any sort, but they deny the sonship of Christ. Jesus Christ was just a prophet. And that's it, you know. And the bigger prophet came in the 6th century, the man of blood, you know, who has is a warlord and has been fighting big battles. And so, It's kind of very important to see what the law is telling us. Yeah, we've got in California there's one law which has come out, and it's the gay conversion therapy stuff. So if somebody is homosexual but he really wants to, you know, build a family, love a woman, and if it's a man or if it's a woman, love a man, and sort of go back to reorient himself, reorient herself. Back to a traditional lifestyle. Now, if you charge for that in California, this is law is passed on the first level. If you charge for that in California, you are for like in form for therapy, or you've got a book to advise people to do this, or maybe, and this is where the big concern is, you even give them a Bible, because the Bible says, you know, that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul says, but some of you were such. Yeah, some of you were such. So the Bible clearly says that there's a way out. Yeah, there's a way out. You're not, you know, if you are, you know, struggling with the flesh in your life to do stuff which is not right before God, there is a way out. And this is the power of God in your life that can take you away from a lifestyle that is not good, that is unhealthy, to a lifestyle that is this honorable in the eyes of God. May not be overnight. I've heard stories where it's overnight. A friend of mine, he was a drug addict, and he had a fantastic experience, and he was clean overnight. Then later he fell back into it. You know, he gave up on God, and he fell right back into it. He got done by really, really badly, and he got out of it. But this time it wasn't an immediate healing and freedom from drug abuse and anything like that, but it was a long stretch for him. He made it. I've lost track with him, so I don't know what's happening now, but you know, sometimes things happen very fast, sometimes it takes some time. The other things as well where they try to get us, and it might be with a copyright thing, that some Bibles are copyrighted, which I think is kind of wrong, but if you, for example, use some Bibles, they can get you on that as well. And I've heard stories where, not Christians, but where people were infringing copyright and all their IT equipment got confiscated and they didn't get it back for quite some time, whilst the police tried to look for evidence. In Houston, there was the mayor of Houston, a homosexual lady. She was very much in favor of the LGBT movement and was at war with the churches. And she wanted sermons of ministers to be subpoenaed so that they could be analyzed for homophobic contents. Yeah. I'm not sure how far it went, but it was a few years ago. This was under the Obama administration. It was a big headline, and, you know, a big ooh-ah was made about it in the States. You know, what's going on here? Why is this happening? We've got freedom of speech. Surely this woman, she can't do this to us. But that was pretty much applying a muzzle to Christianity. And what are we going to do? You know, we have got the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear. The Bible is very clear. We have to preach the message that is contained within the Bible and not sort of talk around the bush. Anyway, when all this stuff happens and you breach of any of these things, and I've seen this with friends, you know, some friends, they don't think they did anything bad, you know, But there was some legal incident, and the police took their equipment, and they confiscated all the IT equipment, anything they had, and it was gone. And one of the guys, he was for some time he was working for the place I was working, and he lost all his data, including all the notes which he needed for work. And there's nothing he could do about it. The police took it. Yeah. Nothing ever came out of it. It took him like over a year or something to get it back. And he was never charged or anything like that. But the equipment was gone. Yeah. All the IT equipment was gone. And this is what I want to talk about today. And I'm probably running out of time, so we're going to do this in the next half hour. The need for taking all your information. Yeah. All the stuff you have, all the stuff you put on the internet to try and reach out to people. You know, when you've got your own Christian war room on your computer, yeah, where you have gospel messages, where you have, you know, sermons, messages, written material, which caters for different situations in life, you know, for maybe any of these things, the LGBT issue, the hate law issue, you know, where you compare religions with one another, and where you look at Christianity and you look at what other religions are teaching and you do a comparison. I mean, that can be quite offensive to some people, and that might soon be, you know, categorized as hate speech, where you say that my religion is better than yours. At that point, you might offend somebody and potentially be sued for hate speech. We don't know, but it looks like everything is going into this direction. So we need to be very alert with all of this stuff that is happening. Anyway, what are we going to do, you know, when this happens? The thing is, I mean, if you've got a laptop, you can buy another laptop, a second-hand one, for $100, $200, $300 or something. Same with the desktop computer. These days, they're not that expensive. If you get some second-hand equipment, it's not that much you have to spend on it. It's not that much you have to, to go for. But you can just get it and, apply it. But then what about your data? That is a biggie, that all your data is gone. And I tell you, if the police knocks on your door and they've got a warrant, all the IT equipment is gone. This includes all your disks, your USB sticks, your phones, anything they can find which can contain data is going to be gone. And they're going to search through everything, and they're going to try and find anything that might be detrimental to you. I'm not quite sure how far it goes, you know, whether the possession of, you know, theological talk, comparison or debate between Christianity and Islam, for example, under the Islamophobic laws, whether that one is already going to be punishable and admissible to court. It could be. And yet it is very important. We need to know what these scriptures say. And Christianity is attacked all the time. We need to make a stand for it. The other thing is we are talking a lot about evolution recently here in the Christian War Room. I'm not quite sure that there's such a worry about the side of the evolutionists, but some of the disturbing statements I hear from America is that they are worried that more and more people are rejecting the theory of evolution in favor of creationism. And they are worried that this is an unscientific approach and that this is mental abuse. That's sort of the terminology they come out with. So you teach your kid a creationism and you are considered to be an abuser, a child abuser, because you are telling the kids unscientific stuff from their perspective. And we are really struggling with a lot of crazy stuff out there. Crazy stuff out there. And I know you in America, you've got the Freedom of Speech Amendment, but you have seen it under the Obama administration that it was on the way to be replaced with something else. Freedom of speech only within a given framework. Leave this framework and you make yourself liable to prosecution. Okay, we are slowly coming to an end. We've only got a few minutes left. We're going to pick it up in the next talk, what to do and how to archive this and how to do archiving. I'm just looking at my notes here. Let's have a look. Story of... I sort of took some notes here, but I was scribbling them and I can't read my writing, which is not very good. I've got a lot of notes here of what to do and how you can archive them, what you should be doing, and what you can do to protect your data. Because once you've got your data, so for example, if you put something on YouTube and they cancel your channel, so far I've seen people, they've got like the A channel and the B channel and they advertise them. So if they stumble on one, and very often it's down to just one guy who looks at the contents within YouTube or Facebook, they make a decision and they just gonna cut everything out. And if it comes to that point, it's not much you can do. I mean, it's a free service. They have the decision. And by the looks of it, the way what we see with European laws and the way they shape up, if they start enforcing it, I reckon there'll be, maybe 50% of the stuff that's on YouTube that's going to be not going to be accessible in Europe, maybe it's going to be deleted, it's going to be taken off the system as well. And so, I mean, the only thing you have is you have to look for alternatives to do this. But before you can do this, you know, you need to make sure that your data is protected. And again, we are following the Great Commission, where Jesus has told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all of creation until he comes back. And that is really the commission we have, and that is what we should do. And I want to encourage you to do this, and I want to help you to develop the tools to do this. Yeah. In whatever God is calling you into, it might be a certain group, a niche group, where you've got special access to and nobody else has got access to. It might be something else. Yeah. Let me just talk a little bit on this, and then on the next talk we pick up on this archiving thing. But I had to think about it. You know, I'm into amateur radio. I'm a ham operator. And it's a niche group. Yeah? There are not many Christians within that sector, as far as I know. I'm not that active either. But I've got maybe access, when I look at the church where I go to, nobody else in the church has got that access to that group. And it could be an avenue to try and, you know, connect with people and to deal with them. And also to, you know, if people are open for the gospel, to just share with them the great and the good news that Jesus is alive, that he is the answer for their lives and for the problems they may be facing, and more so that he is the answer for eternity. And I think that is very, very important, to, you know, sow little seeds. If you go blatantly into it, or you run blatantly into it, it's probably people get put off and they stand back. But if you sow little seeds, very often, you know, people come out of their shell, and those, you know, where the seeds are bringing fruition, they will come to you, and they'll seek you out, and you will start engaging with them, and they will come to an understanding and a knowledge of the truth. There's a place and there's a time to blatantly confront people with the gospel, but there's also a time to do it subtly, you know, slowly, and with sensitivity, to try and reach out to them. There's a bit of both. There's a place for both of them. Okay, what I want to encourage you is to, number one, is think about all the stuff you've got on your computer you cannot do without, especially with relation to the gospel. Good sermons, good talks you've got there, good teachings, good music, Christian music you've got, texts, literature you've got on your computer. I know I've got a Kindle, you know, and I was going a bit mad at one stage with the Kindle. And I've got, like, I don't know, maybe 100 Christian books on there. Obviously, many I haven't read, but many of them are just reference books. So it's just good to know they're there. If I ever get into a subject, I can just zoom into this and sort of try and dig out some data from those books. Now, what are you going to do with all this stuff? You know, once they come and they rate you wrong because they think you are a bigot, or you've overstepped one of the hate speech laws, or you've done some copyright thing, or you've fallen foul of the data protection law that's come out now, and they take all your equipment away, and it's away for a year, 2 years, what are you going to do? You know, you buy yourself another laptop, what about the data? You know, is it going to totally paralyze you? And bear in mind, at the moment, there's a lot of stuff you can access, a huge amount of information on YouTube, on Google, on the internet, and it may not be available in 5 years' time. So it's time to try and get what you can get, to save it on your computer, and to make backups, and to archive it, and to archive it in a way that people cannot take it away from you. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to pray, Lord, that you will give us a wisdom, Lord. We don't want to be paranoid, but we want to be wise stewards of the resources you have given us. We pray, Lord, that you will lead us and guide us into a good understanding of how to deal with, Lord, with all the materials you've given us, and how to use them to reach out with your gospel to the ends of this world. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate, or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.